Born in Tel Aviv and educated at UCLA and Columbia College in Chicago, Dookie Draw is an internationally award-winning documentary filmmaker. His extensive body of work has won him international recognition and success. His latest production is about the Nova Music Festival massacre. Dookie Draw, who is an independent Israeli filmmaker whose films explore issues of migration, identity and displacement. Welcome to the Israel Connection, Dookie.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, Dookie, before we get started, one thing is I find curious. After moving to Israel, your family changed their name, which was Darwish, which is Arabic for wandering, to Dror, which is Hebrew for freedom or sparrow. Now, can you explain how your family happened to have an Arabic name in the first place?
Well, it's a long story, but it comes from some legend, family legend from the 18th or 17th century. My family originally is from Iraq. I think on the 18th century, there was a plague in Baghdad, and many of the family members went up to the north, to north of Iraq, where they are wanderers, dervishes, the circling dancers.
Yes,
it's part of the sect of a Muslim sect. And when they came back to Baghdad after the plague, they called them dervish. It's a family name, actually, not only for Muslims but also for Jews. So you can find it in different places and different pronunciations.
But then coming to Israel, they decided to change, to become true Israelis,
yes,
I guess.
My mother was very much wanted to Israelite the whole family and Darwish because it had
Arabic undertones,
to Arabic names. So she
yes.
said, oh, let's make it easier for the kids.
Okay, well, now I've got that one out of the way, we can get down to business. Dookie, we're talking about your film, which is about the Nova Music Festival massacre, ostensibly. So why have you initiated a campaign to get Netflix to host your documentary? Why do you see that as being important?
Well, you know, it's not that I was able to get Netflix to make this documentary. It's a little difficult these days to have documentaries on this subject or in the Israeli-Palestinian subject on a platform like Netflix, which is very hesitant on having controversial or political documentaries, and they just want people to sit down and enjoy some music documentaries and stuff like that. I initiated this film actually the next day after October 7th, on October 8th. It was a Sunday, and after the shock and horror that we were facing on that Black Saturday, I realized that we are facing something not only in the battlefield, not only that Hamas was terrorizing Israel in such a vicious way, but also we were terrorized by the media. And on Saturday already, I was checking social media, and I saw this campaign going on against Israel from the river to the sea, and denial of what's going on, the massacre. And I realized this is something that has to be done. I have to do something to document this horrific event, to bring it out as soon as possible to an audience around the world. So I called my partner in Germany, and I told them, okay, we have to do this. This is a big story. It is a big story as a media story, but also it's really important to bring it out as soon as this massacre happened. So first of all, to get the first reaction of people who survived this massacre, and to be, in a way, to be as close to the crime scene as possible and bring out these testimonials from the survivors, and then to get it out to the people, to the world audience, so people will understand what happened there. In face of the denial, in face of this media war that was launched against the truth, basically, and human values.
So you're probably skeptical from what you're saying about it seeing the light of day on Netflix, although you may be aware of another film which was not pro-Israel, a film called Farha that was has been shown on Netflix, and there was a lot of opposition to that because that's well, a Jordanian film which depicts the way that Israel operated in going back to the Nakba in ways that Israelis would in many ways deny. So it would seem like quid pro quo that they, it would be fair to give this side of the story when they've already done something on the other side.
I don't know. I'm not going to judge this, because usually this, if this was aired now, it took 2 years to at least 2 years to license this program that was on Netflix, and things are really changing rapidly in Netflix. So I'm not sure. It's th this is just like only to get only one side of the picture.
Yes.
That was it was. And Netflix's way of choosing one side. So I'm not sure.
So, have you what sort of distribution channels have you then been following to get the film into the public eye?
Well, the film is an international co-production. So there's a France, Germany, and Israel have co-produced this film, and we have international distribution for the of the film. It was already acquired in 40 different countries, and has been in tens of film festivals around the world, and a lot of community screenings, especially in the United States, in Jewish communities, which are very vulnerable now. And I was in the US about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and I felt that the how vulnerable this the Jewish community in the United States is in need to see this, because this is depicting what, you know, the narrative. It's of course it's the Israeli narrative, but it's the narrative of reality, of truth, in face of really a very dishonest and fake depiction of what happened. And in the face of the assault on Israeli Jewish point of view narrative by in social media mostly, but also in the academic world, which is this is the very scary thing. And we had a few screenings also in universities in the United States, in Yale and in UPenn, which are were part of this academic assault. And it was, I think, if you, I think from my perspective and my feeling from these screenings, is that if you really say the truth and w show what happened, it's very, very honest what we have seen, very honest, these testimonials from the people who were there at the Nova Festival. And you keep on saying the truth with not and not cave in to this. You see it everywhere, trying to put you down. There's only one narrative, is and this is the Palestinian narrative. And if you insist on saying the truth, things will work. I things will People will understand eventually that this is something to understand, to look and to realize that what happened is unacceptable in any human moral value that can be seen. And this is the main issue here, not anything else that are trying to do, to divert our sight to.
Well, the trouble is that, as they say, truth is the first victim of war. That's unfortunately the way it goes. Have there been protests at the screenings you've been having of the film in the US, especially at academic institutions?
Well, I was expecting that, and actually I was expecting it in a way, okay, let's have it and see this and confront it. But there was nothing there. I think one of the reasons is that there's a propaganda war against us. When you show something so sincere, so vivid, it's a war I think the other side will you know, try to avoid. So there was no confrontation, real confrontation, in these screenings. Who knows? We still have a lot of more screenings. We had many screenings in other places in Europe, and they were all really very powerful, very strong. Of course, this is the story of these Israeli kids who went to the music festival. This is what happened to them. I think, though, from my point of view, at least, I saw it as an assault on free society, not Israeli society, but the free society that were attacked so viciously by 7th century
barbarians.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's the first impression I get when I'm watching the film, seeing people, young people, enjoying themselves as we do in the West, in a way that would be viewed by the people that came over from Gaza as being a very decadent form of behavior. And it would have been a place for them really to target, because that's what they revile in their belief system.
That's true. I think that's the main thing, the main theme for us as the people who made this film, me and my partners, it was to really focus on that, not focus on the Israeli-Palestinian issue or story, but rather to show how fragile is our society, our free society in the West. From this, I mean, we don't really understand how fragile our society, free society, is. And they speaking about freedom fighters, but these are fighters against freedom. This is what scares them the most, as you said. This is the freedom is the major danger for these Hamas Iranian regimes. So they have to fight that. So you call it Israeli, you call it Australian, you call it West. This is the danger, and they have to fight it.
So I posted up on my Facebook page the ad for the campaign to get the film on Netflix. I got one comment, which I thought I'd share with you, Dookie. The comment was from a person who said, "This is totally misguided and disrespectful, and that is an understatement." So I followed up by asking, "Why do you say this?" I asked, "Isn't it important to show as many people as possible, especially the skeptics, what actually happened on October the 7th? And I got this reply: "Would you like to see your sister or daughter being gang raped and slaughtered so publicly? Surely the family and friends have enough trauma knowing that it happened. Showing it as proof to journalists was maybe necessary. Showing it to the public is feeding perversion." I think this remark is a bit extreme, and I don't agree with it. But what have you had any of this kind of reaction, that people have said that this is not the thing to do, to show this kind of thing publicly?
I think we try to be very gentle with what we were showing in the film. I mean, we didn't show any depictions that are too horrific. Of course, this is pretty horrific story, But we didn't try, we tried not to make it a horror show, and because we wanted to first, we wanted to respect the people who were talking, and we mostly used our protagonists' documented videos. I mean, they're self-documenting themselves, and of course, we had to put more videos that Hamas were taking and showing how really vicious it is, but we didn't really get into the hardcore of stuff. And actually, the reaction that we got was more of, why didn't you show more details? Why you were so sinister? There was so much more graphic stuff going on, and you tried to mellow it down. And I say that I want to have as much audience as possible to see this, because this is something that happened. And in order that this will not happen again, as actually Hamas leader were saying after the October 7th attack, they said it's going to be another 7th October, another one, and another one. In order to warn against it, this has to be shown, this has to be documented and shown to the public, even though it's really a hard documentary to watch. It's not
It's
easy.
very hard to watch, I have to say. But it brings to mind this 48-minute official video that has been produced about the October 7th massacre overall, which has been used by Israel to show the world the real true horror of what happened. And that has graphic depiction in it, which is very hard to watch. Have you seen it yourself?
I saw parts of it. I was too much exposed to really graphic material, and it was not easy for me also emotionally to go through all these videos during the editing of the film. So it was, I tried to, if I don't have to watch stuff, I will not. So.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen it myself either, and I have no need to now because I'm totally convinced and of with all that I've heard and seen. But this goes back to that comment I made by that person that I alluded to earlier. It's her comment would perhaps be pertinent if it was relating to this documentary that was produced officially, and as we know, Israel has only shown it to limited audiences.
Right,
And
right.
I've seen comments that Israel should have shown it more widely to more people. Do you think that Israel has found the right way to approach the use of this particular video, or they should have put it out there for more people to see to have more impact? Or has Israel been too soft and is not pushing hard enough what actually happened so that it's right out in front of people? You have an opinion on that?
I think that if you're talking about the Israeli officials, government, I don't think they do enough to show or to explain. It's more like to explain what happened on October 7th. But I think that we are, the Israeli civil society finds itself very strong, and I'm sure that you'll see a lot of stories coming out from October 7th in the next years or more, explaining what happened, bringing this story out to the world. And this is by private people who really were facing this horror and facing this historic moment that tantalized them, like myself. And Israel officially, I don't think they handle this very well. I think, but they have so many other fields to fight in. Specifically regarding this film, I don't think that this should be shown widely. I think that it needs to be shown only to specific people who can report on that.
Yeah, we have a foreign minister that came to visit Israel. She came to, she spoke to a few of the people who were connected with the hostages and so forth, but she didn't go down to the south to see with her own eyes. I think that was a very serious mistake. I would have hoped in her case that this film has been put in front of her, at least that she would have seen the film, if not the reality, in the horrible detail that was there. You produced your film in a very short time, didn't you? Most of the footage, I suppose, was readily available from what actually happened on the day. How long did it take to get it all together and released? I suppose that's probably the fastest you've ever produced a film, I would have thought.
Yes, absolutely. It's completely different from documentaries I'm making. Usually it takes 2 years, 3 years.
Yes.
You have to sink in into the subject and to have the perspective on that. This was really it was a call for action for me, and I had to produce it really fast. We did it first. We did a half an hour for German and French TV. And it was aired end of November, so it took less than 2 months, a month and a half. Actually, we had a lot of conversations with the broadcaster in France. They were quite hesitant on showing it in the beginning, and we had to get through some barriers. I think political barriers that they went that to get it out first there in France. And then it took another 2 months to finish the 1 hour documentary. I'm happy to say that it was really quite amazingly was distributed in most of European countries. On April 7th, the 6 months to the October 7th massacre, it's going to air on BBC, BBC World, and in numerous countries around the world, South America and some Asian countries. I'm not sure if Australia was already in purchased the film, but I hope it's on its way to Australia too.
Yes, you're just begging my question there. When you say you're not sure, how does it get to be shown in Australia? Who would be looking to bring it here?
Well, we have a international distribution for the film. ABC could be a good place to air the film, and other
Well,
SBS.
I mean, it's suitable to be shown as a TV documentary. That's what it really.
Yes, I think this is the most of the public television stations in Europe has been licensed it. Have been licensed it, and also some of the commercial TV broadcasters like Canal Plus in France, and the streamers in South America, and have been licensing it. So
Yes.
it is a very important documentary, even though it's very hard. The story is really. It's not an easy documentary to watch. It's not like you can sync with that or have fun with this. I think it is also a story of victory. These people, these seven protagonists that we interviewed, they all survived. They all survived a vicious attack. They are there just a few days after the massacre. They were there to tell their story, to bring it out, to bring a vivid picture of what happened. And I think this is, in a way, of although the tragic story that we were showing, this was something that you can look at and say, okay, there is a victory there. They were strong enough to tell the story just a few days after it happened. And they're doing this amazingly. I mean, they were sitting there even though they went through this horror, they were very honest, very direct in what they were telling us.
Now, I want to just allude to what you did previously in your long career as a filmmaker. I think people need to be aware that you were a very well-established maker of a film, and you made a significant documentary series about Israel's most turbulent generation beginning in 1995 with the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin and the pivotal events that followed that. This was shown on Kan, Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation, not in Australia. It was aired on Israel's 75th anniversary. Unfortunately, a lot of this material, I suppose, will be picked up by Israeli companies that are showing cinema through various media outlets. But get it on mainstream TV is difficult. But did you see this as a significant creation of yours, and what do you think it reflects about the state of Israeli society today? Of course, Israeli society today is united because of the war, but after the war goes, I suppose what you've said in this film, this documentary series, we're going to see evidence of it again.
Yeah, I think Israeli society is very dynamic, and it's a young country. You know, we have to realize that 75 years is a young country, and it's going through crises and challenges. Generation turmoil, or the battle of the tribes, the docu-series that you referred to. Actually, it was also has been shown in Germany and France. Again, they are my partners all the time on films that I'm making. I think that for me, this was a major work, because these are very turbulent years through the last three decades of that we passed from, actually from the Oslo Accords until 2023, when the election, the end of 2023 election, and sorry, 2022, and the election where Netanyahu won again, and tried to go into war with the
The Supreme Court.
Supreme Court.
Yes.
And that was a turbulent moment. But I think it was a turbulent moment that was the tip of 30 years from Oslo Accord, when things split, Israeli society split between left and right, and between seculars and religious. And this fault line just opened wider and wider until that moment, which was a year ago. And I think what I try to do in this docu-series is really to put things in order, to understand the narratives of each side of the Israeli tribes, as we call them, and understand how each sector or tribe is viewing these 3 decades that have passed. And that was very interesting. I mean, this was for me, it was a travel into back 30 years, and understanding the same story that I perceived as a liberal, secular, leftist person, through other points of view, of the ultra-Orthodox, or the right wing, or the settlers, or the Arabs. So you have like a whole spectrum of understanding how the society evolved in the last 3 decades. And that was fascinating. And I thought that this is something I and it was actually was accepted by the public in Israel like that. This is okay, there's something that we can see, and it makes order in our head. We understand better now what happened here, because our things are going so rapidly fast here. It's very fast, things are changing, and we forget what happened last year. We right now we almost forgot what happened last year with the Supreme Court overrunning the Supreme Court, because there's a major war now. So I think that's part of my work as a documentary filmmaker, to look at history and put it in order, and people to get people to understand. And I think maybe this is the most important thing for documentary filmmaker to do, is to put things in order, to get people to understand what happened.
Has there been any major impact from October the 7th on the Israeli film industry? I would expect that a number of people in the industry have had to go and serve in the as reservists in the IDF. Has it put a dent in the industry?
I think yes. I mean, that there is a major drop in, at least in the scripted industry, the TV shows and feature films. There are less production going on. In terms of documentary, I think there's some, of course, a boom of many productions that are started on October 7th, and that will come out again. They will come out in the next few years, and I think it will continue to percolate and perpetuate in the at least 10, 20 years from now, because this is was such a traumatic moment for Israel and Israeli society. And
Well, I thank you for speaking with me today on my program, and for the great important job you're doing in bringing all these things to the fore with our society. And I do hope that we'll see your film on the massacre in Australia. I certainly will send out some messages to the powers that be to make efforts to get your film shown on Australian television.
amazing. Thank you very much, David. It
Whatever,
was a pleasure.
I think it's important. I have been speaking with Dooki Dror, the director of the film Supernova, the Music Festival Massacre.